Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. What's the farthest you've ever walked before? Maybe you have to walk to get to school, so you put in a mile or two every day with your backpack on. Or maybe you like to hike with your family, so you've spent lots of time walking in nature, enjoying the outdoors. I love to hike, and one time I hiked 22 miles up and down a mountain, all in one day. It took me 16 hours, and I was super tired afterwards. Today's guest is no stranger to walking. In fact, she's been known to walk miles each day for several weeks on end.
I love time on my own walking. There's something about the synergy of the pace of walking, the fresh air, your heartbeat, the way our minds work. Something about that all meshes together, doesn't it?
This is Mary Colwell. She's an author, conservationist, and clearly she loves a good walk. Today, we're going to hear about Mary's most famous trek, a 500-mile-long adventure across Ireland and Britain to raise awareness for curlew conservation. Now, you might be wondering what a curlew is exactly. A curlew is a kind of bird way bigger than most birds flying around in your backyard. They have tall, skinny legs, perfect for walking around in the mud, and a long, thin bill that they use to capture their food. Curlews can live all over the world, but they are rapidly disappearing. Mary first encountered curlews when she was waiting for a ferry in northern Scotland.
I was just hanging around waiting, and in a field, there were a flock of curlews. I know now they would have been gathering before going on migration to their wintering grounds. They do it in stages. They'd finish breeding. They gather in these fields and feed up before they fly long distances to wherever they're going to spend the winter. And I must have just come across these birds in a field. And I was mesmerized is too tame a word. They were beautiful. They were long-billed, long-necked. They looked funny and elegant at the same time. They looked gawky and sophisticated. They seemed to be creatures from another planet, because most birds, I think, were little and fed on your bird feeders in the garden. These were large and extraordinary looking, and I couldn't take my eyes off them. I still remember just staring at them, thinking, what is this? And then discovering all about them. The Eurasian curlew has this lyrical, bubbling song, absolutely stupendous, very yearning, very full of pathos. It's just fabulous. And that was it. That was me done.
Mary was completely won over by the curlews, and as she learned more and more about them, her fascination grew and grew. To understand more about the curlew, it helps to picture what they look like.
If you imagine a mallard duck, okay, we all know a duck, right? Quite a sort of your average duck. And then stick a long pair of legs on it. Enough to get you clear of the water as you're wading around in the shallows, okay? And then you stretch out the neck, get your duck and stretch out its neck. And then it's got a little round head, and then stretch out its bill into this long arcuate form. So it's like a mallard duck with all the extremities extended out. And it's brown and grey and with some white on it.
Something that can make a curlew look both funny and elegant is their long bill, which is actually pretty remarkable. That bill or beak can be 6 inches long.
The curlew's bill is not very thick at all, and it's quite scythe-like as it comes out. It is the most amazing instrument. The end opens independently from the rest of it, so you imagine the very end of the bill has got like a little pair of tweezers on it, if you like. So it's called rhinokinesis, and you can open and close the bill at the end, and it's full of nerve endings. And you put this bill down into the soft mud, and you can feel around for all sorts of creatures down there, sort of shellfish and little worms and all sorts of things that live in the mud, and you can pull them out. So you need a sensitive bill that can go deep into mud. So it allows you to go down, and the round shape allows you to sort of swirl around. So you'll see a curlew feeding and it's got its bill in water or in mud or in soil, and it's constantly twisting its head around as it's trying to feel for burrows and things under there, hidden away. So it's a very sensitive, beautiful instrument that allows it to go to places other birds can't reach.
Can you imagine a curlew, this stretched-out duck with a long, curved bill, sticking its head in the mud searching for food? What an interesting bird! As Mary learned more about the curlews, she also learned that they weren't doing very well. These birds that were once found all over Great Britain are quickly becoming harder to find.
Their world is different to ours. And all along the way, that's hard enough being a migratory bird without having all the things that we put in the way, whether that's shooting, whether that's building over their feeding areas, whether that's polluting their water, whether that's setting fire to things, whatever it is that we do. And we do a lot of things that affect them, whether that's building wind turbines at times as well in the wrong places, whatever. You know, it's just more impediment to a bird that finds it hard to survive. So they're supremely adapted. They're supremely fit. They're supremely fitted to live on this planet. But if you put too many impediments in something's way, it just can't overcome it.
In addition to facing obstacles in the wild, there aren't enough curlew chicks that are able to fledge. That means grow feathers and fly.
The big problem with the Eurasian curlew is it just can't get enough chicks to fledge. So the decline is coming from the breeding season. They lay 4 eggs a year. They only need to fledge 1 chick every other year to keep their population stable, and they can't even do that. They're not even producing, in many populations, 1 chick every 4 years. So the breeding success, as it's called, of the Eurasian curlew is probably less than half of what it should be.
The problems faced by the curlew made Mary very sad, but she was determined to do something about it. And it turns out that something was walking from the west coast of Ireland to the east coast of England.
To walk across Ireland, Wales and England at the time was massive to me, and particularly on a route which was not marked on a map as a sort of known walking route. It was make it up basically as you go along, pretty much. But I was driven by the birds. I wanted to go where they spend the winter on the coast, then move through where they go inland to breed and walk through the inland areas and end up back again at the coast. So in a way, it was a walk through their life as well as a walk across the landscapes as well as a personal pilgrimage for me.
And so Mary set off on her 500-mile-long journey, observing the curlews in the wild and raising awareness for their endangered status. The path wasn't always clear, but Mary forged ahead.
I took local advice. I didn't always know exactly the route I was going to follow the next day. I knew where I wanted to get to, and I knew the easiest way to get to, which was usually along roads. But I didn't want to walk just along roads. So a lot of the local people said, there's a shortcut down there. I tried to stay off the roads as much as possible, but not totally. The whole idea of this particular walk was not to escape into the wilderness. That wasn't the idea. The idea was to go and talk to people who understood the wildlife I was interested in. So I wanted to meet people. I wanted to meet scientists and conservationists and farmers and bird watchers and members of the public and artists and poets, you name it. I wanted to meet people.
Mary was successful in meeting people who cared about curlews, whether they were conservationists fighting to help the birds or just ordinary people who remembered curlews in the past.
I met certainly the people who still love them, who are still very aware of them, who are still working hard to save them. So I definitely met the conservation side of people, the people who just thought, oh, thank goodness somebody is doing something for curlews because we're noticing them disappearing. And I also met, though, the people who had forgotten they loved them. that they did love them, but they'd slipped away and they hadn't realised that that sound and that presence in their landscapes was no longer there. I found that particularly in Ireland. And one very moving encounter was with an old man. I was tired, I was walking through the centre of Ireland. I was feeling a bit tired and I just plonked myself down on a bench in the middle of a city, in the middle of a town. I'd gone to get a sandwich and a coffee or something. And I just sat there and this old man was sitting there. And I started talking to him and he had moved away from the countryside and into the town to be near his family. And I told him that I was working for the Curlew and he said, "The Curlew, of course." He said, "Gosh, a long time since I've seen a Curlew." And I said, "Do you remember what they sound like?" And I had my iPad out and I had the recording on it and I pressed it and the call came out of the iPad and he immediately burst into tears. And tears literally streamed down his face. And he was looking way beyond the shop fronts and the people walking past. And he had gone somewhere in the past to his childhood. And he said, "I remember them. They were all in the fields when I grew up. And I remember that sound." And it was so moving to hear that. And I heard that a lot. Oh, that's the Curlew. My goodness, I'd forgotten about that. Where are they?
Even though there aren't as many curlews in Great Britain today as there used to be, Mary was still able to have some special encounters with these birds on her journey.
In the curlew walk, I was walking on not a very interesting road. It was quite high and it was going over a sort of hill between two villages. It was getting towards the evening and it was a lovely evening, quite warm, quite sultry. I was just walking along this track, not thinking about anything in particular. It was quite a built-up area. And a curlew just suddenly flew across the road. I wasn't expecting to see one. I didn't even know they were there. But the fact that it sang so beautifully and so clearly in the evening air, and there were houses not very far away, in a place I wasn't expecting, suddenly made me think the world is definitely full of magic. It definitely is. There are wondrous things if you open yourself out to the time to experience them.
Mary was able to experience wonder in her encounters with curlews and in her experiences reminding others about her favorite birds. Her walk was more than just taking steps outside. It was a special opportunity to spend time in nature and make a difference. So the next time you go on a walk, make sure to look around you. There are all sorts of things to wonder about and experience when we open our eyes.
Curlews are a special bird with the loveliest call you've ever heard. A merry walk with their story to share, an example of wonder, passion and care.
A quick word for you parents. I'm Marcus Smith, host of Constant Wonder, which is the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode because Constant Wonder contains a lot of great stuff kids will love too, but you may be wanting more. We've got a whole episode devoted to Mary Colwell and her walking treks around the globe. If you want to hear the full presentation, go find Constant Wonder wherever you get your podcasts. It's called She Walked 500 Miles for a Bird Under Threat. We actually think that you'll love more than just one episode of our podcast, which is an ongoing quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small. The kinds of encounters that move us beyond words. Remember when you had time for wonder? Well, we suspect you still do. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman Darrington with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.